In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
We walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. Nearly 5 years ago, Crow777 was a guest on the show talking about his research and video of astronomical events such as something called the lunar wave. His first and clearest video of the wave was captured on an equinox in 2012. This 2012 lunar wave caught the attention of the mainstream media. It's essentially two vaporous lines that scroll from bottom to top across the face of the full moon as if the image is resetting. This and many other anomalies are showcased in his recent documentary titled Shoot the Moon. Independent research at this level can profoundly reveal how we are disconnected from what's known as the sky clock, an ancient system of measuring time by positions of the sun, moon, and stars. Other revelations include the climate engineering deception and the full speed ahead of worldwide aerosol spraying of the skies. As many listeners know, this massive betrayal beyond scale created public distrust against those supporting climate change in universities, space agencies, the United Nations, environmental groups, and many organizations who deliberately ignore real-time climate engineering operations. Crow777 shows us that so much can be learned by simply spending some time outside, pointing the camera to the sky, then gathering and stacking empirical evidence and sharing it with other independent researchers, a process that ultimately leads to asking the right questions. His website is crow777radio.com. Crow, welcome back to Another News.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks so much for having me back. It's been a while.
It's been about 4 years since you were on the show talking about the lunar wave that you accidentally filmed in 2012 and on an equinox where the time of night and day are equal. Watching the 2012 lunar wave in your documentary titled Shoot the Moon, it's very clear, and as you point out, it has a liquidy ripple effect and displaces the edges of the moon. The second lunar wave you captured moves on an angle from top to bottom. About 30 people have filmed it now. A wave was also captured in front of Jupiter. If you would please remind listeners about the lunar wave, then tell us, what are the implications to our general understanding of the substance of space?
You mentioned Jupiter. It's actually been shot 3 times in front of Jupiter, one of those times with the so-called moons of Jupiter being displaced by the wave. It's also been shot by Take Back Space Channel, who is a skilled telescope user, in front of Saturn. I think he shot one of the ones in front of Jupiter. He's also shot it in front of the moon. I've shot it 5 times in front of the moon. There's another gentleman, I think, has done it 6 times. And then there's a litany of people. I quit kind of keeping track of it because I didn't feel like I should be the center, you know, the ultimate orbiter of what's legit and what's not. Truth is if you're there, you understand more than anyone else if you're there filming it. The rest of it is just speculation. But the lunar wave is always double. 2 waves go by, the best of which is represented in the 2012 capture, displaces, like you're looking through water. Every, I'll call it a crater that you see on the moon, when the wave goes by, it actually displaces the entire image of the moon twice. The one thing that's changed that we know certainly could have been a better description is, I don't even remember whether I was the guy that called it a lunar wave or whether someone else did at this point. I've just forgotten. It would be better described as a firmament wave because we now understand that that wave can be filmed anywhere in the sky where there's a bright enough luminary to let you visualize it.
Well, Crow, could you go into some detail about the implications to our general understanding of the substance of space and the connection to maritime law?
You know, the average person, I can say all these things, and if they've never heard it before, they'll start looking for tinfoil to put on their head. So maybe that's not helpful. This is what I'll offer. You ever been up recently to your town hall and seen the flag there, and there's a gold fringe on it? Do you know what that means? And that's a good example of how we walk through life seeing things and acting or supposing we understand, or maybe even writing it off as, oh, it's just pretty. It's not true. Flags, everything about flags, as an example, has a meaning. That gold flag relates directly to being at war, or more specifically, admiralty law. If you look at all the language that drives Western civilization, and it's more than that, but I speak a language in the West and understand more of Western language, so I'll speak to that. When you use money, you're using currency based on the word current. It's kept in a bank, like the bank of a river. And when you are born, it's birth, like the birth of a ship, and you can go all day long. Space travel is no different, by the way. You go on a ship, you float in space, you know, just look at the language. The way I did it is I was getting ready to announce that space would probably be better described as a liquid, which is a difficult thing to prove, by the way, even if you do have lunar wave footage. And I finally realized with my telescope and logic, I can't go any further here, so I'm going to set up a mental experiment. So I deduced that if I could take an important speech that was given by an important person that went out all over the world, and I could deduce nautical language, then I would then do the announcement that I think space is likely better described as liquid. And I took the JFK going to the moon speech. He did that speech more than once, by the way. I think the version I used might have been Rice University. I've forgotten. It's been a long time. But there's more than one version. But you can see it instantly. We set sail on this new ocean. You know, it goes on and on and on. Not only that, all the supposed space shuttles, which I don't accept ever went to space, they're all named, many of them, after ships that sailed the ocean. There's no separating modern life and modern existence from nautical ideas, and that includes law. And the unfortunate truth is, you know, maybe there's a lawyer listening to this will say, Crow doesn't know what he's talking about. And I will directly address that person. I beg to differ. If you take a closer look, you will see that admiralty law underpins it all.
I think it's fascinating because the nautical reference in admiralty law extends into our current economic systems in terms of the fundamental laws governing transactions, but extending it further into space and then connecting it into what seems to be, well, a wave in space. And I'm not saying that it's water, but it may not be what we're told.
Well, you know, for the Western world, most of us have relied on NASA and other space agencies, and I'm here to make the following statement. It makes a lot of people's heads spin, but I've done a lifetime of research, so I make no apology. You've never been told a true thing from NASA. The reason all the space agencies, they're all in the same club, all of them, regardless of what country, any of that, they're all in the same game. And what they seek to do is ensure you know nothing about what we call space. How many times now has NASA been caught filming astronauts in pools? And there's another reference to liquid. We used to be able to go to the centers where they have their buoyancy, neutral buoyancy pools or whatever they call them, with their mock-ups of the space shuttle underwater and all that. And you used to be able to image the green screen that they have stashed away in that very clear water. But you can't really access images like that so readily anymore. Point is, doesn't matter. Chinese got caught doing it. NASA got caught doing it. And so if you're going to space, why are you faking footage in a pool? Same could be said of the ISS. If you're going to space, why are you constantly getting caught green screening and suspending people from basically Chinese-style kung fu wire systems? Because that's what they're doing, and it's been demonstrated ad nauseum.
That connects into all the anomalies related to the moon landing. There's so many of them. Great documentaries titled A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon.
Right.
But one thing I didn't know, and you mentioned in your documentary, is the image of the Earth from space is technically too close, and that if you increase the brightness on that image, you can see a cropped out part of where a square of where that the image of
right.
the Earth is.
And what you're actually referencing, this has all changed now. NASA has gone through its public image database, and they've scrubbed those images and cleaned them up. Both my co-host Jason and myself back in the day went down and got the so-called Earthrise over the moon image, and we simply put it in Photoshop and jacked up the levels, and there it was. Not only is the Earth the wrong size, provably the wrong size, it's got a square crop mark. You can see someone laid it in. Those images have all been cleaned up, which also tells you something. We found the fakes, and then they replaced the fakes so that they don't look fake. But there's more to it than that. In Shoot the Moon, the full-feature documentary that Jason and I did, it's been in a number of film festivals now. Jason's won 4 laurels, by the way, so that's how open-minded people are becoming. At first, we got turned down everywhere with some of the things we were saying, like basically NASA's not telling you the truth. But then it started getting picked up, and I got hope. And then Jason won some laurels, and I really got hope. But here's the thing. You've never seen an image of anything from so-called space. And people hear that, and their heads explode. But if they take the time to look into what I'm about to point out here, they'll begin to know some things. The blue marble image is always a good example. On the 2007 iPhone, I think it was, they put a desktop image of the Earth from space. Well, fate would have it, we know the name of the artist who made it. His name is Simmons, and he is on the record as saying, NASA gave me some data, and I created this image in Photoshop to be what I thought the Earth should look like. And by the way, these images have to be made in Photoshop. And so then the thinking person will go get all of the supposed blue marbly images or supposed Earth from space and put them next to each other. The colors are all different. The sizes of the supposed continents are all different. They're all fake. Not only that, what started the whole thing was one of the images, someone with a very keen sense of pattern realized that the clouds had been cloned, identical clouds cloned into the image. That's what started it, and that was before the 2007 blue marble image. But you can do it on any number of them. They're all fake, and they were all passed off to you as if someone turned a camera back on our world and took a picture, and that is provably not the case.
And you would think that the Hubble telescope we have been told exists and is orbiting the Earth would be able to turn the camera back on itself to get an image of the...
I like where you're going there, but here's more shockers for people that are new to this. The Hubble Space Telescope doesn't exist. Nothing exists in space. Nothing goes beyond what I call a hard, fast boundary, what many religions around the world call the firmament, what people in things like the Flat Earth community call the dome. I call a hard, fast boundary, and I base that on damn near 5 years of nonstop day and night telescopic work. So the Hubble Space Telescope, we started to take a close look because back in the 90s, when I got my first scope, it wasn't long before I got into astrophotography, and I was using Astronomy Magazine's Sky and Telescope, and they were showing me Hubble images. And I realized I couldn't get in the same ballpark. Of course, it was back on film back then, but I assumed it was just my lack of ability, my lack of understanding. As it went along, I began to question this. Well, all these years later, I met another guy who had challenged it, and we had both come to the same conclusion. There is no telescope called Hubble in so-called space. What there is an aircraft called SOFIA. The SOFIA aircraft has an identical setup that you are told is on the Hubble Space Telescope. So I'm here to tell you that all those fancy images, and by the way, someone with a simple 8-inch telescope or an 11-inch telescope like I have could easily create anything that's supposedly attributed to the Hubble now with the tools we have to do digital work on photography. But the point I'm making here is they openly have an aircraft up there with the identical rig that they attribute to the Hubble where all the images are coming from, although we also suspect some are just coming from very big telescopes, ground-based. And to say it again, not too many years ago, there were people with, say, an 8-inch or a 10-inch or an 11-inch telescope who were absolutely replicating the images that supposed Hubble was taking, and they did it with tools on a computer and real imagery.
To hear the conviction in your voice when you're describing this is troubling in a way, because I believe that you believe this. I'm there with what you're saying. But the larger implication of the grand deception, that's the troubling part.
It is. It is troubling. Let's suppose for a moment that everything I've told you is correct. That's disturbing. That means there are governments and organizations and places of power that have lied for a living, basically. Is that a possible thing? Well, we all know it's possible, but most of us don't want to live in a world like that. So we don't want to let go of the life preserver. The truth is I've spent a lifetime challenging these things. Then I got a telescope finally when I could afford it when I got in the Marine Corps. That was right around the time Hale-Bopp was in the sky, that old comet in the 90s. And then up around the 2000s, I began to film. I quit all my corporate jobs, and I got out a telescope and a daytime camera, and I filmed around the clock for almost 5 years because I was tired of not knowing things. So my firsthand observation, logic, deduction, simple things, like early on I thought I was filming satellites. And then when I realized all these times I looked and one should be transiting the moon from my area and nothing happened, I started to question, well, how's all this done? So I started looking into it. And then I realized that even the very software I was using, there are disclaimers that this is not accurate. It's based on Cheyenne Mountains, you know, algorithm. There's all these excuses. And as I went along, I began to realize more things. At some point, I got an optics expert when Huffington Post ran some of my footage, got an FBI expert and the head of MUFON to say Crow clearly doesn't understand his equipment. What he's filmed in this particular clip is a satellite in half geosynchronous orbit, which would be 11,000 miles-ish. And I'd had enough because I'd been doing this for years, and I was wondering, what does an FBI guy know about telescopes, or the head of MUFON for that matter? So I went and got an optics expert, and we valued out the pixels for my exact system, for stills, for video, for the exact CCD chip in the camera. I mean, exactly. This was all worked out so we could plus or minus something like 100 feet, know the exact size of a pixel at a certain distance from me. So here's where it came out. If the Huffington Post was correct, and that was a satellite in half geosync at 11,000 miles away, it would be something like three or four times the size of the so-called ISS. And so the illusion began to crumble. And it wasn't long after that that I went through all the footage that I had, and I began to realize everything I've ever filmed is in our atmosphere. So then I went to older tales that we've been told, like the Sputnik. There's a good tale. 300 or 350 miles away, roughly the size of a small beach ball. And people saw that? No, they didn't. You can't see a damn beach ball at 300, 350 miles away. It's just logic. That's really not arguable. If someone wants to argue that, I would say go out and get a very bright flashlight and go 30 miles away. You know, it's just, it's simple once you get down to it. Once you start getting in the vein of challenging things and trying to determine, is this even possible?
Crow, in our past interview, we talked about how nothing escapes the Earth's outer atmosphere. Rockets launched arc out over the sea and break apart. We talked about this about 4 years ago. Well, given the amount of research and interviews you've done in that time, what are your thoughts on any element of this deep deception?
They're all on a coastal launch pad, for one, and anyone who wants to, there's plenty. This is one of the things you can still go get your hands on in this age of censorship. And I would ask, why do we need censorship? We've come a whole lifetime where people agreed, they didn't agree. Some people said atrocious things, others said helpful things. But now, all of a sudden, with the internet, it is paramount that you can't talk about NASA's lies, you can't talk about vaccines. There's any number of things that you cannot address. Well, what's that about? That's protecting a lie. That's why censorship exists anytime it exists. You're trying to enforce a thing that would be unenforceable otherwise when you bring things to bear like censorship. The thing about rockets is if you go online, there's plenty you can watch. They arc. And you've been convinced that, oh, well, they have to make this weird curve so that they can escape, reach escape velocity and all these things that you've been told. The truth is what's actually going on is they go up, they hit their apex, they arc, and they go back down into the ocean. As a matter of fact, there's articles of a man who went to find old Spanish treasure off the coast of Florida, and he got a permit from, actually seven permits from the government. When he got in there, what he found first is what he described as hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rockets, engines, bodies, full rockets, some with their nose buried in the sand, sticking out. Then later in the article, when he's describing that, man, someone needs to know about this. So we're GPSing every single one we come across, and we're turning it into the government because, man, this must be useful data, right? Then he describes what they find as thousands and thousands and thousands of rocket fuselages, bodies, engines, and everything else. And so the article ends by telling you, well, this is all the failed attempts from the 50s. Well, do the math. How many years have gone by? I'm not going to do it for you, but just logically work out. Is that even a thing? When he was close to shore, there was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. When he got a little further out, there were thousands and thousands and thousands. Do the math. But go back to what I told you. Go to a rocket video launch and watch that arc. As a matter of fact, if you go to places where people post images, some very skilled photographers quite often film a rocket launch and they leave the shutter open so you can see the whole trail. And many of those images, you can see the rocket coming right back down. It's just that you've got the mental block because the guy in the white lab coat told you, oh, it's going to arc, it's going to reach escape velocity, it's going to do all these things. But if you common sense look at what you're being shown, I'm reasonably sure the majority of people will understand what I'm saying here.
Crow, while you were describing the graveyard of rocket fuselage in the ocean that had been discovered, I was thinking immediately the movie The Shining came up in my mind. And the parallel was the wife thought that he was working on a novel, and she went to the typewriter and saw All Work and No Play Makes Jack a Dull Boy for pages and pages and pages.
That whole movie is referencing the Apollo launch. It is assumed, and this is unprovable, but it is assumed that Kubrick regretted taking part in setting up the technology to fake the moon landing, which he did in the movie 2001 with the guy who invented the idea of satellites, who was a science fiction writer, by the way, Arthur C. Clarke. When you go back to that movie, there's one scene where little Danny's in the hallway and is wearing a sweater that says Apollo 11. Right on the sweater. But if you notice the pattern on the carpet, it matches the launch pad where some of the Apollo launches were going on. And then there, of course, is room 237. When they go into 237, there's the old, you know, looks like a beautiful woman, ends up being a rotten, dead creature. That's been surmised that that's what happened to Kubrick. He wished he had never been involved in this. But someone else made a movie called Room 237, everyone should watch it. And by the way, way back in the day, I remembered from being a child, having just seen The Shining, I noticed that Kubrick had set up all the tang cans in a certain way in one shot. And it sparked my memory, and I went back looking for the Tang commercial from the 60s. And lo and behold, it's the identical shot. He's turned the can and lit it and covered the portion so it exactly matches that old supposed moon lunar lander Tang commercial. And then the guys who made 237 found the exact same thing. It's really not deniable. Kubrick was encoding something about Apollo. Most people feel that he was beside himself, that he'd been sucked in, and that the rotten lady in that room was the idea that he fell in love with the space idea, but it was so dishonest at the end of the day, he felt like he'd got in bed with a rotten corpse or something like that.
Yes, and getting back to satellites for a minute, you talk about the idea that man-made satellites may not really exist as they're described. This is disturbing for many reasons, including the implied massive organizational secrecy and illusion needed to maintain the illusion, but also the recent Elon Musk statement to launch somewhere around 30,000 satellites in order to bathe the planet in 5G microwaves. Would you tell listeners more about this, please?
Oh, please. Elon Musk is an actor. He's trying to convince you he launched a sports car into space, for crying out loud. Go do the math. Go do the lookup, how hot the thermosphere is. In the sun, it would have been something, and I've forgotten the numbers, so I'm ballparking it here, but it's like between 400 and 500 Fahrenheit in the sun, that little sports car would have been exposed to. And in the shade, it's ridiculously hundreds below zero or something. It's nonsense. All of it is nonsense. And by the way, you want to know the truth about Elon Musk? Go look at his resume. Will you find the word actor on that resume? Well, I'm reasonably sure you will, because he did a cameo in Avengers, among other, or Iron Man, among other things. These things are a put-up. And that's why you hear the determination in my voice, because I lived a lifetime swallowing lies. And I bought a telescope and spent Lord knows how many hours wasting my life believing what I was told, trying to replicate these things that were fantasies. And the truth of it is most of us feel like the guys in the white lab coat are the experts and we'll take their word for it, which is okay to a point. And what's even worse about it is for those of us that want to start challenging what we've been told by the white lab coats, we're faced with this math. Sometimes the math is, man, there's a couple, 200-300 people in the world that can even deal with math at that level. And it always reminds me of what I was told in school as a child. As a child, I was told that physics is seeking this simple, short, all-inclusive equation that unifies everything supposed Einstein did and everything. And that's where his physics is heading. Well, all these years, a lifetime later, physics has gone the exact opposite. What physics has done is become theoretical, which is not science. A theory is an idea, and it don't mean until it's proved. Then it can become a law. Then it means something important, like the third law of thermodynamics, which tells us black holes don't exist, among other things. These are critical distinctions to make, but not only did physics go into this big theoretical spellbinding, I don't even know what to call it, it started to invent particles. We now have a particle zoo. Every time there was an equation that wouldn't balance, they invented a new particle with the weight they needed. It's gotten more complex and more convoluted, and fewer people in the world can even start to attempt to deal with the complexity of math at that level. And in a way, that's no different than censorship. What you've basically done is cut out 99% of the world from being able to deal with science as they're presenting it. But I'm here to tell you, Elon Musk, not buying.
Well, Crow, Elon Musk was a topic on the show in the past, and it was revealed through the writing of Miles Mathis that he did not start PayPal. He didn't start Tesla. He had acquired money from a government-backed venture capitalist called InQtel and brought money into PayPal, left PayPal, and then brought money into Tesla afterward.
Yeah, do research on InQtel. He's an actor. And by the way, just to get back to the car in space, that was also an echoing from Hollywood, as they do so often. There's an old movie called Heavy Metal from the 80s where a car is dropped out of a spaceship. I think it's a Corvette, actually. But there is a one-to-one matchup with the images we got from Elon. You can overlay it right over that cartoon. But yeah, Elon's an actor. And anyone who wants to know something, go look up InQtel, and you'll know something about what we're talking about.
Definitely. The decades-long plague of aircraft spraying aerosol into the atmosphere to engineer climate and many other uses, including a vector for spraying biologicals over populations, no longer becomes questionable when you point a camera to the sky on a daily basis. In a past interview in 2015, you mentioned the supporter emailing you about research she conducted on FedEx aircraft being fitted with aerosol fixtures for spraying the atmosphere. Would you please talk about what had come of that information?
Yeah, that's actually an unfortunate one. That is a hard drive that I lost. It failed. Between the time that I acquired the imagery that clearly showed old FedEx planes being retrofitted and repainted, I mean, it was damning evidence, the images, my drive actually fails. So I pull it out, and I'm going to get it worked on to try to recover it. Well, I took it in once and they couldn't recover the data, but I wasn't giving up because I know that I probably could. Turns out when I do the move, three hard drives come up missing. Two of them had, you know, telescope work and other things, but one of them had that. So from the time, and it was only a few weeks, when I first got it, I was trying to learn more about it and get a firm foundation before I put out a clip, but the images were damning. But even after that, I had friends that were big airplane buffs and FedEx planes that were partially, I filmed them, partially painted. The paint job wasn't even done spraying. But, you know, you started by saying there, when you start to point a camera up, it's undeniable. Well, let me tell you something. Around the year 2000, I started filming chemtrails, and no one would buy No one. And I was trying to tell him, I've lived in the city my whole life. This is not normal. And I filmed all these anomalies. We were filming these things called orbs back then all around the chemtrails. Well, lo and behold, brothers and sisters, it's admitted now. So the argument that was is no longer, because it's flat out admitted. And not only that, in 2008, when the Olympics was near China, or had not been too far from China, there was an article in the paper, because I was writing articles back then and I covered this, where they admitted openly they had a Bureau of weather modification and they'd made a mistake and caused a blizzard that did millions in damage. And that's when I really started to push, saying, look, you think China's got weather modification and we don't? They're openly admitting it. It was not long after that that, in an underhanded way, it's been admitted flat out here. But we can go all the way back to a document called Owning the Weather in 2025. Anyone can look up that PDF online from, I think it's the Air Force, if I remember correctly. Maybe not.
It is.
Yeah, and it tells you the truth, what they're going to do. They're going to own the weather by 2025. I would suggest they already do. They are the Rain Man.
They have that technology in place, but there are other uses for the obscuration of the sky. Would you go into that a little bit?
Well, in my movie Shoot the Moon, at the end, we present double sun footage that was filmed through a hydrogen alpha solar scope, which I shot in 2016 and kept to myself because I had many thousands of hours of typical telescope use and only a few hundred of solar telescope use, so I was very worried that I was missing something. Lo and behold, not too long ago, a guy in Colorado replicates exactly what I did, films the double sun, so we include that. What you will notice is quite typically, or in all the places I've lived, and I've also traveled all the way around this country, 8,000-mile trips, all the way up north, down the eastern seaboard, all the way down the southern route, 10, back to San Diego. Everywhere we went, there were just heavy chemtrailings near city centers, but everywhere the sun rose, everywhere the sun set, always smudged out. And here in Rhode Island, where I currently am, over the last 4 or 5 years, I think there might be a handful of times I've seen a sunset that wasn't obscured by chemtrails. And I think possibly, I just got images sent to me from Thailand, actually yesterday and today, where someone else has now filmed the double sun. What I said is I suspect at sunrise and sunset, you don't need hydrogen alpha to see this. Turns out I may have been correct because I have images, like tons of them, to go through of the big sun that we're used to and a smaller body off to the right of it going down. That's part of obscuring our view of what's above our head. But more than that, we know that almost, we've known since I first started doing this, people were taking stuff to the lab and had worked out that barium, strontium, and forms of aluminum were in what they're spraying. It was no secret that Alzheimer's was at an all-time high, and it was being linked to aluminum in the brain. So your vector idea, I think it's spot on. It's unhealthy. And now let's talk about the fires that have gotten so far out of control. I've seen people do work now where they take those three metals that I've mentioned, they burn them in a clinical setting so you can see the color and intensity of the flame, and then they compare it with footage of the so-called fires. And what we're doing is we're logically deducing that if this is sprayed in the air all the time, which it is, and there's a saturation point, then clearly the plants ingest it at some point. So what we're saying here is, what's the difference between a wildfire and a wildfire from hell? It could be that the wildfire from hell is burning plants that have ingested barium, strontium, and aluminum.
There's no question, and that is something the anti-geoengineering group out there that has been on this show has been speaking about for a number of years.
Who are regularly censored, by the way, just so people understand. When you see censorship, what you have to understand is a lie is being protected. That's the only reason censorship exists in this world.
I totally agree. I want to get back to the FedEx planes for a minute and then the missing hard drives. What I understand from what you said, you were given footage of the FedEx planes that were partially painted, that were spraying. Can you tell listeners where that was and then how you discovered these hard drives missing?
It was in Britain. I can't make a claim about how they came to be missing. It's interesting that they are, but, you know, it could just be happenstance, maybe. But how that drive failed, not so much. This was a mechanical drive, and one day it started spinning at breakneck speed. That's what crashed it. I heard it go, zzz, you know, just bang, gone. But it was filmed in Britain by a person. I can't say anything about the person. The person had access to get a camera straight into an airport-like area where they were converting these planes. You could see the sprayer nozzles being put on. You could see the partial paint jobs. And even when they had scrubbed away the FedEx paint, you could still tell that it had been painted as a FedEx plane. But I think we now know it's not just FedEx. The other day we were on a show and someone was putting pictures up of a chem plane, and it was an American Airlines plane. So at this point, and I haven't been able to film like I used to. At this point, there's people questioning, so have they done a fuel mixture that does this, or do they always have sprayers? Always looks like it's coming off the tail fins and the wings, but these things remain to be shown. But what is not arguable is they are spraying particulate matter with three heavy metals into our atmosphere. They've been doing it for over 20 years, and part of their admitted purpose is to control the weather to their nonsensical global warming argument, which they made up. By the way, anyone who doesn't think global warming's made up, in the 70s they were telling us there was going to be an ice age. But there was a very popular movie called Soylent Green made in the 70s. 73 or 4, something like that, and it was supposed to be 2022, this movie was occurring in, this dystopian future. The whole thing is about how the ocean got killed because of greenhouse gases. That's the 70s. This is a long game we're looking at here, everybody.
Crow, it's interesting you mention that year 2022, because that is the year of the new great age that is referenced in Kent Bain's book titled Blackjack, The Dawning of the New Great Age of Satan. He describes how the great age is tracked and charted using embedded symbols on buildings, zip codes, memorials, parks, and avenues within the 10 square mile city of Washington, D.C. He says the markers are deliberately positioned and cut in stone to track the processional entrance and exit of the great ages. Would you tell listeners, please, about your research into the accuracy of time, the arbitrary measure of the solstice and equinox, and the disconnection of the Western world from the sky clock?
Right. We don't have time. We have an approximation of time in the modern world. When your cell phone or your watch tells you it's noon, it's not noon. It's noon when the sun reaches its zenith for that day. That's noon. It's called solar noon. It's the only noon that exists in this world. But we don't go by that anymore, just like we don't go by sunrise or sunset. In a time zone, a person 800 miles away on the western border will be told it's 6 a.m., and 800 miles away on the eastern border, they will be told it's 6 a.m. This is all artificial nonsense. But to get back to the point, the first accidental filming of the lunar wave, which I didn't know for years, was a few days from the reported equinox. They lie about equinoxes, and here's the story. Later, I found out that day that I filmed it on was actually truly equal day and night. That's what I say qualifies for an equinox. But the truth of it is, it's like those guys on the time zones. An equinox can only be experienced depending on your geography. It is impossible to state an equinox is this day for the entire world. That's a lie, a known lie. But there's more to this. You know, we've done a lot of work to try to get people looking at the sky clock again, because ages, I'm very interested in ages. There are people in this world with power who understand the ages and the possibilities that come with the age shift. But this is some of the most lied about and hidden information. We've even shown that the zodiac was jacked up. Libra was added to the zodiac. It cut the claws off the scorpion to be jammed in there. And that's not the only thing we found. But to get back to the point, it's interesting that you would talk about the new great age. There's actually a thing called, this is an interesting year, 2020, for the sky clock, or the sky in general. I call it the sky clock to try to tune people back into what's the only timekeeper in our existence. The sky, the sun, the moon, the luminaries. But on the summer solstice, there's going to be an annular eclipse. Don't think we can see it here in the United States, but at the winter solstice, which is a very important day, because that's when the sun is getting to reset and generate a new set of frequencies, for lack of better terms, for the coming year ahead. Happens every year. We call it Christmas. The 21st is always the low point of the sun. 3 days later, after it supposedly dies, it comes back to life with a new program for the coming year, to put it in some kind of vernacular people could think about. But the point here is this year in 2020, there's going to be what's called the Great Conjunction. From what I understand, and I'm just getting going on this, looking at it more carefully to try to confirm everything I'm about to say, it is happening, that's confirmed, but everything else I want to make darn sure, because the sky clock's been so messed with, to include the zodiac. Saturn and Jupiter are going to come into conjunction on that day of the low point of the sun, which we call the winter solstice. The sun is resetting for the coming year right there. The difference is it's been thousands of years since it's happened in a supposed earth sign. This time it's going to happen in an air sign. People are trying to make the claim, and this is why I need to look into it, that this is going to usher in the age of Aquarius. But there's all these problems. We are told that the way you determine the age you're in is whatever constellation is behind the sun at the spring equinox. Clearly, anyone can do that and see that we are firmly in Pisces still. Matter of fact, hundreds of years. But I would argue that since we can show that the zodiac's been tampered with, how can you make any claim that the boundaries of the zodiacal signs weren't messed with to hide this very thing? Knowing when an age shift is a critically important thing, and I'm not going to get into it here, but just suffice it to say, it matters as much as anything will ever matter. And the people who understand it will have a huge advantage. So what I'm getting at here, is it possible that the claims we're starting to see that this great conjunction does actually usher us into the age of so-called Aquarius? I have my doubts, but I think it's an interesting idea.
It would be interesting to connect with Kent Bain regarding his work that shows the layout of D.C., including the interior of the White House, tracking the movement of the processional age.
So it's always occult sky clock information that's lied about and hidden, and that's why we have our ridiculous horoscopes in the paper to make it look like hocus-pocus silliness, which it is. But the real sky clock, the real information, is the most critical information a human society can understand and utilize, and it's been hidden from us. And as I pointed out, you don't even know when it's noon anymore.
He says December 21st of 2021 may be the shift into the next great age. You're saying it's this year, so that's interesting.
I'm saying that's the claim being made, and I'm saying the conjunction of Saturn, it happens every 20 years, I think, if I'm getting that right. I'd have to look it up. Something like every 20 years, Saturn and Jupiter conjunct. Okay. But what's going on this time is it's been thousands of years. It's happening right on the solstice, and that's unique. But it's happening supposedly in an air sign for the first time in a very long time. You got to realize, people hear air sign, water sign, they think it's hocus. It's not, man. It goes back to the old alchemy, which was science that only achieved within the scope of nature. In other words, it was a very capable, high-minded science with real medicine, by the way, not drugs from a pharmaceutical company, that did everything it did within the scope of nature, regulated by nature. If you wanted to do an alchemical process, you had to do it at the right time of the year. If you wanted to make medicines with plants, that plant had to be harvested at the right time. That is how intricately tied to the natural world it was. Chemistry is the bastard child of alchemy, and chemistry doesn't give a damn about nature or anything else. It'll connive to do whatever it wants any time of the year, and if it makes the most noxious chemical ever known to man, so be it. That's what chemistry will do. Alchemy was not that. And alchemy was a thing that tied science and spirituality of human beings all in the same concern, to include their medicine and their healing. It was all one thing. Not this idea that we have now where, well, if you're a scientist, you can't believe in God. And if you go to church, you can't believe in those jackass scientists. And by the way, if I go to the doctor, I got a problem with my heart, so I need to go to the heart doctor. But next week, my foot has a problem, so I got to go to the foot doctor. It's ridiculous. The human body is holistic. The reason my foot hurts is related to anything else that's wrong, anything else in my body. And it's been piecemealed out into these artificial systems. And I think it's critical to make this point because people need to get back to understanding. Alchemy is not black magic. It's not hocus pocus. It is a legitimate endeavor that does what I will call science within the scope of nature. And by the way, the medicines were astounding and all made from plants and other things.
Past guest Mary Hardy is involved in that, and she had a huge pyramid built in her backyard. It's an Oregon pyramid. It's a healing center. People from all over the world come there. It was built in the 70s. Even the Navy intelligence had come in to knock on their door and investigate.
There you go. Here come the sensors. That tells you the importance of what's going on when the officials, the guys that want you to have a license or permission or a certificate or a registration or all this nonsense that binds a living man or a woman in the modern age, they're control mechanisms. Either we're grown-up adults or we're not. And currently, I'm sad to say, we're not. We have a nanny all the time. Oh, I want to drive my car. I better go ask permission. And most people are so used to doing it, they don't think twice. But think about what's actually happened here. This country was founded on common law. In common law, if you haven't caused loss or done injury, there's no law broken. And when you walked into a so-called court under those conditions, it was a whole other experience because it respected the idea of a living man or a living woman. And most people are so far from understanding anything I've just said because they're not even aware that back in the day when we used words like thee and thou, what was going on there is we were not corporate persons. When we left those things behind, those biblical ideas, where they're represented most often, and we came to you and me and your birth name and your birth certificate and your social security, you were turned into a corporation at birth. We've come so far from a natural world where a respectable, responsible living man or living woman can live a meaningful life. And everything we've talked about here today are facets of it. And for people who haven't, you know, ever heard anything about what we're talking, these things will seem shocking. But you've got a choice. You can go back to sleep, hold on to your life preserver, and go to work tomorrow as you ever did. It's like Neo. Don't take the red pill if you can't deal. But if you want to know about something more and claim your birthright and become an actual, honest-to-God living man or living woman, start to educate yourself. Because the one thing that makes a human being different from an animal, one of the major things, is our minds and what we can do with our minds. And to be perfectly clear, you don't need a white lab coat to explain the world to you. The Creator, or however we got here, gave you a brain that can do that.
Crow, you reference the moon in the context of a biblical passage, Genesis 1:16, and God made the two great lights, the great light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. This context is that the moon is not necessarily what we've been told. If the moon is more illusion than physical, would you talk about how lunar tides explain the moon's gravity, pulling a bulge of water from oceans of the Earth closest to its position? Another example is that the highest of lunar tides occur when the moon is in its full or new mode, because at that time it's in line with the sun and the gravitational forces are added to those of the sun.
That's another one of the many kind of untruths we've been told. The moon, other than as a marker telling you what time it is. In the spring, we have spring tides. We can demonstrate these things. And the moon is the marker for a month. It used to be called a moonth. In an actual real world where we're actually trying to accurately track things, a month would be tracked by a moon and be called a moonth. The sun would make a different sort of calendar. But we can show that the moon is doing this, that, or the other thing, but it's not doing anything with the tides. And by the way, the moon is so, you know, you can look up on one hand, they're telling you, why isn't the moon have the mass we think it should, and all these other nonsensical mind hooks they put out there. Anyone with half a brain, if it's caused by gravity, which I don't accept, the sun would be doing it all, because the sun is massive. And this little tiny moon is supposed to be, it's all a bit much when you get to common sense. But there are people you can look up. Back in the day, in the 1800s, people sat down to say, okay, we're going to figure out exactly how the moon controls the tides. And that's where we got the phrase, this is where reason goes to die. Everyone's heard of that phrase. Well, now you know what it's associated with. A man trying to tie tides to the moons couldn't do it, and he's not the only one. For everyone listening, all the things I said in my life, believe it or not, were said 100 years ago, and I didn't even know it till about 3 months ago. I had a book on my read list called Zetetic Astronomy by a man called Parallax. His real name is Samuel Robotham. But I picked up that book finally. It had been on my list forever, and I read it, and my jaw dropped open. I realized over 100 years ago, a man had done exactly what I did. He used firsthand observation, not theory, not some unprovable science, firsthand observation, and he said exactly what I said about everything, with the exception of eclipses. He said exactly what I said about eclipses, but he didn't offer, per se, what causes them. And I can offer what causes them from the old Vedic traditions from ancient India. It's what's called nodes, Ketu and Rahu. But anyone who wants to know a few things, in the first three pages of that book, tells you the truth, that firsthand observation is the only thing that matters, not theories. Our science is all driven by theories now, and it's a crying shame. Those are just ideas. Gravity is a theory based on a theory, and yet we treat it like a law. If gravity is gravity, how can it possibly be that we haven't turned it into a law by now? And I know people are going to say, well, there's two kinds of gravity, and one of them, no, nonsense. I'm not accepting nonsense here today. I've done my due diligence. Pick up Zetetic Astronomy by Parallax if you care to know some things that are true about the world, and know that over 100 years ago, a man did what I did and came to the very same conclusions.
That information about the tides is also in that book, Who Built the Moon, which is supposed to be a skeptical take on what the moon really is.
There's a great awakening, and everyone has an opportunity to wake up and become a higher human being, an actual living man or a living woman. And those words may sound funny, but I use them intentionally. There were times in this world when human beings lived much better than we do now. These historical times have been hidden because what's coming now is a push for a one-world government. And in that one-world government will be a hell-bent, feudal-type system run by oligarchs. They're behind it all. We complain about NASA. Well, who's behind them? That's who's behind them. The oldest kind of royal nobility families, the Black Venetians, the Black Guelphs, these banking cartels that go back to the dim recesses of a history we know nothing about. That's why all this matters, and the time is now. The window is short. Let me tell you something. This year is an election and an Olympics. If you don't think it's going to be a big year, I would be willing to bet you're mistaken.
One thing I was told by Jerry Smith in the context of climate engineering is that, ever noticed you won't get a hurricane on an election year?
Well, we have done tons of, we were censored so heavily. We covered the Mandalay Bay nonsense, and my YouTube channel was deleted. The day before they deleted my YouTube channel, there were 16 to 20 million returns on Crow 777. 3 weeks later, they put it back. We don't know why, and searches on Crow 777 went down to 2,000. To this day, if you search Lunar Wave, you'll probably get more than a million returns. Put my name after it. The guy who discovered it goes down to a couple thousand. They put an algorithm. But to get back to the point, we were covering that we can demonstrate, they can manufacture, stop, steer, or anything they want with a hurricane. So how the hell is it that places like Houston are getting knocked over? And by the way, these damn wildfires that are apparently not as bad as we've been told, I'm starting to get eyewitness accounts that are claiming otherwise. Who knows for sure? Mm-hmm. My point is, we've been seeding clouds since the 30s. Why doesn't someone seed a cloud and make some rain over those fires? It's all, we live in an upside-down world, man. Yep. And the only thing that can change it is us. We will get what we deserve. I beg all of you, take a better look at the world around you, because until that happens, we're in for a wild ride, man.
Crow 777, that seems to be a really interesting and important note to end on. You have a website and a very fascinating podcast, and that website also has a link to your documentary, Shoot the Moon. Would you tell listeners about that information, please?
Right. I do have a YouTube channel, but who knows if it will be there tomorrow with censorship. And like I told you, if there's censorship, there's a reason. That's Crow777 on YouTube. But the main way to find me and communicate with me and be part of the things we do is Crow777radio.com. That is CRROW77radio.com. The two R's are a play on my corporate birth name, just so people know. And the sevens have nothing to do with Aleister Crowley. I have no respect for Aleister Crowley. That, too, is a play on my corporate birth name. So basically, crow777radio.com. We run a podcast every Thursday. For the price of a cup of coffee, you can join for a month. And I don't know many people that are putting the amount of research into it that we're doing.
I just started listening to your podcast. It's really great. It's very dense and great information. Crow, thank you again for being on Another News.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, man, and I hope you have a great 2020. I hope there's nothing too eventful for any of us.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests. The search function on the website, inothernewsradio.com, has been fixed, so you can search for keywords and look up other shows.